Father, we just thank you that we can come into your house this morning, Father, and that we can bless you. We can bless you with our praise and worship. God, that we have a gift to offer up to you, and that is worship. That is praise about you, God. So this morning we invite you in. We invite your Holy Spirit in, that he may come and have his way, and that we will be a blessing to you, and we will honor you in all that is said and done this morning in this service. In Jesus' precious and holy name, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify you, we glorify you. Come on, church, begin to get it in your heart this morning. Begin to make some noise.
Let me stand on the mountaintop until the storm blows over and I'm still standing. glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
Come on, guys, let's sing this out. Sing it with me.
Hey, nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God,
sing it out, sing that thing.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable.
Unstoppable God, let your glory go
on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done.
Come on, we all should know this part by now. Sing it out with everything.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God.
Sing it out, come on.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable.
We'll shout your name.
We'll shout your praise
forevermore.
Jesus, our God, unstoppable.
Sing it out, nothing.
Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable. Nothing shall be impossible. Your kingdom reigns unstoppable. We'll shout your praise forevermore. Jesus, our God, unstoppable.
Unstoppable God, let your glory go
on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on.
We serve an unstoppable God. Hallelujah. I said we serve a God who cannot be slowed. He cannot be stopped. He cannot be tripped up. We serve a God that is miraculous, that that is greater than great, that is bigger than big, more magnificent than you could ever imagine. Amen. Come on, shout praise. Hallelujah. You alone are worthy. Jesus. Jesus.
Wonders beyond our galaxy. Yeah.
Come on. Come on, he's worthy.
The splendor of our King. Let all, I said let all, I said let all the earth rejoice, because he wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, it trembles at his voice, it trembles at his voice. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one. The lion and the lamb, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great.
He Come on, how can you not shout? How can you not shout unto God with the voice of triumph? He's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. Hallelujah. My wife said something to me. My wife said something to me a few weeks ago, and she said this. She said, so many people act and react according to what they feel or see. But if you noticed, your feet are still on the ground. Yes. Are your feet still on the ground? Yes. You notice that we might be a little chilly, but we're not dead. Which means the earth is still in orbit. Yes. So whether you realize God is moving or not, God has never ceased moving. He is always moving in your life. He's always changing your life. Our God is great. Amen. So whether you see anything or not, it means nothing. Because the fact is, your feet are still on the ground. The earth is still in orbit. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him with all you've got in your spirit. Look your situation in the eye and just praise it through. Because God is already moving for you. He's an awesome God. Amen. I said amen. I said amen. Shout this with me. Nothing's going to shake my faith. Now I want you to go tell five people that on the way back to your chair. Nothing's going to shake my faith. Don't go sit down. Go find somebody you don't know this morning and tell them, nothing's going to shake my faith.
Step one, rock solid faith happens every Tuesday night, every Wednesday morning, and every Thursday night. You want to make sure you sign up. You can go online, histabernacle.com. You can click on next steps. sign up, register, or you can just show up to class. Make sure you sign up today for Next Steps.
Them a vision for you. He and she is the mouthpiece of God.
One sent with definite authority, definite mission.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. No, no, no. I need y'all to shout for the King of Kings. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to our 9 a.m. service. We are so excited that you conquered the cold, you conquered daylight savings time, and you are here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Before we get started with some announcements, if you are a lady that went on the HT Women's Encounter Reunion, I need you to stand up and come up here. Yes. Ushers, we need some help. We want to get all the ladies up here. Amen. Awesome. So while they come up here, if you are a guest in this house, we want to just give you a shout out. Say good morning. Welcome. If you have not received a guest packet yet, can we just see your hand, please? If you have not received a guest packet. We have one over here. Come on, y'all. Give it up for our guests. Give it up for our guests. Yeah. Are there any other guests? If you have not received a guest packet, let's just see your hand. We have some still right over here. Awesome. Well, in your guest packet, there is a ticket in there. We'd love to just have you guys come out to our guest reception afterwards. It's going to be on that side of the building. We're going to meet our senior pastors, have some coffee, which is always awesome, and just get to know a little bit more about ourselves. Amen? Live stream, we love you guys. Come on, give it up for live stream. If you're on live stream, if in the chat, just type out where you're from, how many people are with you, so we can celebrate and worship with you. The TV station came yesterday, the other day, and said 5,100 people are watching. 5,100 people are being blessed by the word of God. Hallelujah. Awesome. So Pastor Chad, he's over our outreach, and he has put together an adult clothing giveaway that will be starting tomorrow afternoon through Tuesday evening in the foyer. So just come out. I don't believe there is a cap on how many people or how much. So we want to make sure we can clear out those racks. It is cold outside, right? So come on now and let's just participate in this adult clothing giveaway. Also, Empowering Pastors Leadership Summit. Who is excited for that? Yeah. So yes, it does have the term pastors in it, but this event, it is for every single person, business leader, church volunteer. So if you want to sign up, just find me in the foyer, hunt me down. We will get you signed up. That starts in 8 days, people of God, 8 days. So get excited for that. Last but not least, who loves the youth of this region? Come on, who loves the youth of this region? So we want to make sure that you can get involved in sowing into their lives. Perhaps you're getting a little bit older like me and you just cannot keep up with them, but perhaps you want to just start to sow into their lives. So Pastor Cody, and they have the entire team, they put together a way that you can now begin to partner with them. For $20 or more a month, you can begin to sow into the lives of the youth. There's a phenomenal youth conference coming up. It's going to change the lives of the youth across the entire nation, not the region, the nation. So if you want to, find Pastor Cody in the foyer and his team and sign up today. Who's ready for the Women's Encounter and Pastor Rhonda? All right. Amen.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Good morning. We have had just a phenomenal weekend. If you have never taken time and money to get away and have a God encounter, you need to do it. It is so, when you encounter God, he can do in one moment what couldn't be done in 37 years. He can do in one moment. Oh, well, we're preaching the sermon. Well, that's okay. The worship team, like, took our whole weekend and compiled it into worship for us, right? So it's just all within theme. So I'm just having the ladies in one sentence, just tell you what God did.
There's always a deeper level that you can go to, and that's what he did in my life when I was there.
I guess I don't have any words. It was just that good.
Phenomenal. Indulging.
Oh, awesome. Amen.
We are chosen. Woo. The majesty of God.
Fear is not of God. Amen. And when you take your eyes off God and you fear, you put your eyes on the enemy.
That faith conquers fear. The things that I easily let go of in the past, I can easily let go of now.
That our walk is a marathon, not a sprint.
That I'm royalty.
I am capable.
I have the power of what I see, what I hear, what I put in my heart, and what comes out of my mouth.
I am courageous to do God's work and not worry about what any man thinks.
Amen. I am forgiven beyond all means and measures, and so are you.
Amen. He is our Jehovah Jireh, the provider of all things.
Amen. When God lays someone on your heart, you are to pray for them not to go blab your mouth.
We are mature in Christ.
He is teaching me how to rest and know that I am okay, even if I'm not working 24/7. I'm to seek him in a deeper level.
He is unstoppable.
Amen. I'm confident to give all my worries over to him.
Amen. Amen. Our whole weekend, the theme was maturity. We are all at a whole new level of maturity. And these awesome women, from their first encounter, this was reunion encounter, this was their second time at encounter, and their testimonies of what God has done in their lives spoke so powerfully. I don't know, I think the testimony time was the most powerful time that we had, sharing with one another, learning that everybody has something that they're dealing with in their life, and not to compare yourself to anyone else, but just do it and be it. Watch these ladies. They are doing it. They are doing it without comparison. Impossible is slain. The next encounter is June
8th through the 10th. We have 14 spots left, so make sure you see me to get your deposit in before the 26th of March.
So has encounter changed? Was it a waste of money for any of you? Has it changed your life? Are you different people today? Oh, I am. And can I just say, in front of all of these ladies and everyone else, have you met Mackenzie Coe? Oh, my goodness. At the first encounter, God did something in Mackenzie. And then Mackenzie came to us. We brought her to do worship. We thought we brought her to do worship. And then she boldly came to me and said, "When are you letting me speak?" So we let her speak at reunion. And we were just in awe of Mackenzie Coe and what God is doing through this. She was the youngest person there, but I would dare say her words were some of the most powerful words that were spoken at our encounter. Now, see, like, we quoted Mackenzie so much. She's got a couple of quotes she needs to tell us. Actually, Jenny Sheet's sentence was another one of Mackenzie's quotes.
Okay. Oh, that one. Yeah, that one was pretty good. Thank you, Jesus. Okay.
So what I said was, when I was wondering why God wasn't healing people, and why, if Jesus in the Bible, sorry, I'm incredibly nervous right now. It's way different singing than speaking. But why people weren't getting healed if in the Bible, wherever Jesus went, people were healed. And I realized that some people like to glorify their own sickness and take the glory for themselves rather than giving it back to Jesus. And whatever we do, we want to give glory to God. So God took me to a passage in Exodus where, the people were building bricks and they were kind of building their own enemy's territory. And God told me that it's kind of like, if you feel like you're the strongest sick person and people are patting you on the back, like, oh, you're so strong for being sick and you're so strong for hanging in there, and that's fine, you are being strong, but God wants to heal you of that and show his glory through that so that unsaved people can even see, wow, look how good our God is. So it's kind of like you're being called the strongest slave if you're saying that you're being like a strong sick person. Not that there's any, go ahead, save me.
You see, when it's God in the moment, it's so different than having to repeat it, isn't it? So anyways, we don't want to glorify the enemy. We don't want to be the strongest person in bondage. And then one more quote of Mackenzie's. If you think he told one person, he actually told 50. Gossip. All right. Thank you, ladies. So right now we're going to enter into our time of tithes and offerings. And every week we quote Deuteronomy 28 about the blessings of God and all of the great things God does when we're obedient to his word. But the second portion of that is Deuteronomy 20. The second passage is about all the cursings that come if we don't obey God. And we want to make sure that we're walking in kingdom principles, that we're walking in the blessing and the favor of our God. So today, as we give our tithes and offerings, I don't want this to be just a ritual that we, so much stuff can just become ritual and just not even think about what you're doing. As you give your tithe and offering this morning, I want you to remind yourself of what you're actually doing. You're entering into covenant kingdom finance with God. So don't just come up here and throw money in a plate. Come and bring your offering before God, recognizing what you're doing is powerful. It opens the windows of heaven. It rebukes the devourer. You're entering into that Deuteronomy 28 covenant that we speak every single week. So stand to your feet this morning. I've talked a lot this weekend. Thank you for your drink. As we say this morning, I want you to remember what you're getting ready to do. And I want you to say it like you believe it and like you mean it, and watch God's miracle, finance, power released in your life. I want you to set your faith and expectation when you drop that envelope into that bucket that you're not just dropping a piece of paper. You're entering into the covenant of kingdom finance and believe God for the impossible. Amen. Repeat after me, Deuteronomy 28. If I obey, then I am blessed going in. And I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They have tripped me up. Because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings and expect a supernatural covenant of kingdom finances. If you're watching via live stream, click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
Fear is losing ground to our own. unstoppable God, let your glory go on and on. Impossible things in your name, they shall be done. Freedom conquered, all the chains undone. Sin defeated, Jesus is overcome. Mercy triumphed in the third day dawn. Darkness was denied when the storm was gone.
Unstoppable God, let your glory go.
Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? I wore my loudest shirt this morning. We've got to let winter know that it's losing its grip. Amen? Just like the devil's lost his grip. So I'm just laughing at your snowstorm that we're getting on Tuesday. Anybody heard about Tuesday's snowstorm? Peace be still. We do want to let you know real quick, you must read your bulletins. There's an enormous amount of things that are happening. Make sure you read your bulletins. I know the ushers are in the aisles right now. For those who want to continue, we only have 2 more weeks to seed into the Empowering Pastors Conference. We have local pastors now that are coming as well. And it's exciting as more people are coming. So if you'd like to sow into the pastors, literally all the way, we have pastors coming now, like I said before, from Kentucky and from Illinois, I believe it is. Where's Frank? Illinois. So we have pastors coming from all over the Northeast and the Midwest. And so we want to make sure that you have opportunity to sow into their lives. So if you'd like an envelope to sow into the pastors' lives for the Empowering Pastors Conference, raise your hand. The ushers will be right there, hand it to you. And very good right here in the front. And the offering plates for these will be in the back on your way out, okay? So we're not taking another offering. We don't want to just take another offering. I want to let you know also, we have been out of Rock Solid Faith books, the blue book, which is book one. We just got an order of 10 more. That's all we have is 10. So if you'd like to grab one, they'll be in the foyer as well. Brother Nick. Amen. I'm so excited about today because everything from the worship to the ladies have all been preaching the message. So I just want you to know church is now canceled. Hallelujah. So we're going to, I want to start a new series this morning, and it's called Generous Interruptions. Everybody shout generous, for this is the year of, you are the generous church. Shout generous interruptions. How many of you know your lives are busy? How many of you have had somebody interrupt your life? Amen. I'm believing, God, that you and I are going to start a movement. Turn to someone and say, I got a movement. You know, I had a teacher in Bible college, and she was having us read a book called The Divine Romance. Has anybody ever read the book Divine Romance before by Gene Edwards? It's a narrative story about the creation of heaven and earth. And one day she came to classroom and she said, and she's standing up and we're reading that book. And she says, I just want you to know the other day I was in the bathroom and I was reading that book and I was just so moved. Yep, class was over. So she was moved. Interruptions are powerful. Ladies, how many of you were interrupted this weekend? When God interrupts your life, it changes your life. Many of us are on just, We are just flying 10,000 miles an hour with real no direction. We're just going nuts. And God wants to interrupt you, and we want to create a movement of interruption in people's lives. And God wants to use your life. Turn to someone and say, God wants to use you to interrupt others so that he will be known. So we're going to create a movement here, and you're going to be given testimony. We're going to create a Facebook that's called Generous Interruptions. And we're going to ask you to start posting your testimonies of generous interruptions. One of the things I found, though, when we're starting to deal with who God is, and this whole year, the year of generosity, is coming against the mindset that has been implanted into people's hearts by the church, by religion. Many people don't even know it's there. And what's happened is we view God in two different dimensions. We view God as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, where there is no lack. Everything we need is available. There's full access through the blood of Jesus. Or we view God as a poverty-stricken, stringy old man who, if you're lucky enough, if he likes you enough, if you're perfect enough, he might help you. And this is a problem because we can say we don't believe that, but many of us live that by our prayer life. We live that by our actions and our activities. We live out this God. We act out this God. How we deal with people, how we moan and complain, declares one God or the other. You see, this is all internalized, and many of us don't even realize it's there. But there must come an arrest. There must come a conviction. There must come a point of change and transition. And that only comes when our minds are being abruptly interrupted by how we used to think to how now we must think. Because the truth will make you free, not your personal reality. You see, this is what God's desire is in our hearts. And many times, it's easy for us to be okay with somebody else being blessed generously. But one of the most difficult things I found with people is it's hard for us to ascertain it ourselves. It's hard for us to lay hold or believe that God has that for us. It's okay that somebody else is, and you actually might be a little jealous that they got blessed. But how would God ever do that for me? How many of you know you got a little bit of a mess in your life? You see, many of us disqualify ourselves from the generosity of heaven because we equate ourselves with our own standard. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't have a standard. There's definitely a standard of blessing. But yet, we compare ourselves with other people. And God wants you to know he loves you. Turn to someone and say, God loves you. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter 17, verse 8, that you're the apple of his eye. That man, the Bible says that he spins and dances over you. No, literally, the verse says that. The Bible says that God spins and dances over you because he loves you so much. You are such a special person to God. He loves you with an everlasting love. It doesn't matter what others have said about you, what others think about you, or even what you think about yourself. He loves you so desperately, and that is why he is chasing you. You are not chasing him. Our verse for the year is Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. And the generous soul shall be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered. Turn with me to the book of James, chapter 2, starting with verse 14. Now, if you don't have a Bible with you, you need to fake the pages. Who here is going to create the app that makes it sound like you're turning pages in a Bible? We need that. I know that you're relying upon the monitors, but you need to bring your own Bibles. Can I hear an amen? Why do you need to bring your own Bible? So you can write in it. Turn to somebody. You need to tell somebody you need to write in your Bible. You need to write verses that jump out at you and change your life. Man, there's no greater thing you can give your children than when you die is your Bible that's falling apart. Amen? That shows true touch of heaven. Here we go. James chapter 2, starting with verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? We'll start that over. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warm, be filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for their body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You see, this is a command of Christ, because the Holy Ghost is the one who gave the Word of God through the disciples to pen it exactly how he desired. And the Word of God is clear that our job is to bring generous interruptions in people's lives. Our job is to reach out to folks that are hurting. The Bible says, if you've done it under the least of these, you've done it under me. You see, Christ expects us to meet people's needs, expects us to bless other people. He expects us to share the gospel. He expects us to comfort people. He expects us to help people come into peace. He expects us to give them finances. He expects us to give them clothes. He expects us to give them food. He expects us. He expects us. And what's happened is many believers are somewhat okay with that in and of themselves. But one thing that you always find is that Jesus never expected anything that he wasn't already doing. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So what Christ did on this planet and what Christ has called us to do on this planet is literally declaring who he is in the eternal. I want to remind you that God himself is not on this planet. He is on the throne, and Christ is at his right side. And the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling in us and is here on this earth drawing people. You see, that's the power of God. But right now, God in heaven, he has everything available for you and I to grab a hold of, and the promises are yea and amen. So as believers, we know that God is expecting us to bring in and be a blessing to others, but many of us don't realize, or because we think of God in this dimension, we never get anything for ourselves. Well, I don't want to be greedy. You have been brainwashed. Well, you know, I don't want to ask for too much. You have been brainwashed. Well, you know, I don't want God to think that it's all about stuff. You've been brainwashed. What do you mean, Pastor? What I mean is you've been washed with the mindset of religion and not with the Word of God. For his promises are, if he's promised it, he's able to perform it. If God says yes, who are we to say no? And when God's promises are in the Word and the book is clear to us, that we can be confident that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, the answer is already on the way. It's not it might come. It's not it could come. It's not, well, I hope it comes. It's if God says it, it is going to come, because God is on the throne and God is not stingy. God is not weak. God is not poor. But God is not just able. He's also willing. You see, if you and I are expected to do works, if you and I are expected by God's nature, because when you've been saved, now you have the nature of God. If now God's nature is dwelling inside of you, and God is expecting you to be and give generous interruptions in people's lives, then what about God with us? And this is, again, where Christians, where believers struggle. Because we have lived in the mindset that God, well, his grace is sufficient for me. Well, you know, I'll just make it by as long as I get to heaven. Amen. And this is the problem. Because the word sufficient there doesn't mean, well, I guess I'll make it by. The word sufficient there means I've got everything I need. God's got everything you need to succeed in spirit and on earth. There's nothing that God will not provide for you. There's nothing that God won't give you. There's nothing that God won't work in your life. Why? Because you are his child. Because you are his son and his daughter. And it's time for us to start erasing. The Bible declares that in the book of Romans chapter 12 verse 2 that we've got to wash our minds, renew our minds with the word of God. We have been so duped in believing and living that God is so poverty stricken that he can't help us, that many of you will not even pray for something supernatural because you will never believe it will come. You'll never pray for a generous interruption from God in your life because you actually have tried it and it didn't work. So therefore, I guess this is what God's lot is for my life. So I guess I'm just in survival mode. I hope it works for me. And, you know, I hope he comes really quick to get me out of here. Yeah, that's what you caused. A survival mode where Christians are running around and digging in garbage bins. Yeah, but it is there. Yeah, but the problem is that's not what God has for his kids. I've never invited my children over to our home and opened up the garbage can and started making stuff out of the garbage. I've never gone down to the supermarket garbage bin, started rummaging through, hoping that I can find enough to feed my kids. Let me tell you, my kids eat better than I do, and I thank God they come over as much as they do, or I'd starve to death. Am I lying? I was just thinking last night, when was the last time we went shopping? What's that? Thank God I got chickens who produce eggs. But my kids, they come over, man. Let me tell you what happens on a Friday morning if they come to our house for breakfast. We're talking like, not French toast like, you know, Wonder Bread. We're talking French toast like that thick stuff. You know, and she always puts, you know, confectionery sugar on top with usually blueberries and Mrs. Buttersworth. Can I hear an amen for Mrs. Buttersworth? Hey, glory to God. No, that's it. That's not it, man. Then there's 3 pounds of bacon. Then there's eggs. And then there's a yogurt bar. This is Friday morning breakfast for our family. And I'm sitting back, yeah. You might as well go. Because my wife ain't digging through any of this stuff because she doesn't want her kids to eat this junk. She wants her kids to eat this stuff. Can I hear an amen? And you see, this is the mindset that has permeated the believers, where we do not live higher, we live lower, and therefore we have adopted a mindset that we're more spiritual because we're lower. You want to be more spiritual, receive what God has promised. You want to be more spiritual, then walk in the promises of God. You want to be more spiritual, then walk in what Christ paid for. This is a change of mind. This is a washing and a renewing and getting out the religion and getting in the gospel, getting in the principles of God's word. And the Bible's so clear. I mean, we read it every single Sunday. The prosperous soul will be made rich. Well, you know, I just don't want to believe for too much, you know, because if I believe for too much, then if I get too much, then I can't handle it, you know, and I'll backslide if I get too. If you backslide because of money, then your spirit is wrong already. If you backslide because you got a raise at work, then you're already backslidden before you got the raise from work. The issue is never the exterior. The issue is the interior. God judges us by the heart. God looks at us inside. All the external things we have. Listen, we could be the greatest revival. I spoke about this a few weeks ago. The greatest revival in 1906 was called the Azusa Street Revival. It was in a horse barn. It was They sat on crates with boards going across. The preacher preached on two chicken crates, sat on top of each other, and he literally would get on his knees and would pray with his head in the box. It doesn't matter what the external is, it matters what the internal is. But you see, he believed enough that God would pour out his spirit. Now I want you to understand this. He was an African American. Now you need to get this. He was non-accepted. In fact, the church he preached at when he got to California, when he came back on Sunday night, it was locked. When he was in Bible school, he could not go to the classroom, but had to sit in another room with the door cracked open so he could learn the Bible. Here's a man that believed God. William Seymour, here is a man that said it doesn't matter what people say or what people do, God's word will come true. And man, when the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues was seen as something that was wild and crazy and unheard of, he was a man that was willing to proclaim the gospel because he knew who he was. He knew the God whom he served, and he defied the reality to get the God impartation and interruption into our nation today. Interruptions demand you to think differently than others. When you're one that will not do a generous interruption, it means that you're in that mode where you got to collect all your stuff. Get that bottle right there. That's 5 cents. Now, it's not that you can't be frugal. It's not that you can't be wise. But wise and cheap are two different things. And our God is not cheap. Our God is not poor. Our God is not weak. Our God's arm is not short. Our God's love is not stopped. Our God has everything that you and I need to live on this earth with blessing and not cursing, so that you and I can stand here as a testimony and give a declaration of the divine interruption, that generous interruption of my soul's been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I walk in the grace and the power of heaven, and I refuse to live out of the can. Listen, you can start in the can, but with God's principles, you never stay in the can. You rise above, because God is abundantly able to do what you could ask or think. You see, God has been living this generous interruptions. I can only give you a few examples. Generous interruptions are the nature of your daddy. Remember what generous means. Generous means more than you need or have asked for. When God meets your needs, it's what you need. But when God is generous, it's above and beyond what you need or ask for. God loves to do the generous thing because that's his, because that's his, because that's his nature. How about when Elijah was in depression? Well, Pastor, you just don't know the trouble I've gone through. You don't know the hardships of my life. You don't know how difficult it's been. Here's a man of God that called down fire, roasted 400 prophets of Baal, and a woman threatened his life. Instead of standing up with the God behind him that just fried the 400 prophets of Baal, he got depressed, ran and run, and hid under a tree. Many would say, well, you know, I guess, you know, that's just where he's at, and that's just, but no, watch, even when he wasn't expecting, even when he did not know, even when he was not aware, I want you to know that your God knows you. I want you to know that your God loves you. He's thinking of you. Jesus is praying for you. The Holy Ghost is praying for you. It's time for you to realize you're not alone, but that God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who has everything that you need and want, has available for you, and he's there just for you. Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 19, 5-8, I can only read a portion of it. Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. Here's the prophet of God. He's all depressed. He's all upset. He's afraid, and he's afraid of this woman, that this woman's going to kill him. He ran away, hid under a tree. Woe is me. Oh, God, just kill me and get it over with. But God said, no, I'm going to give this man a generous interruption. He's not even expecting it. You see, this is what I love about the Lord. In the book of Acts chapter 2, there was a suddenly, and suddenly the Spirit of God came upon them. Your God is a suddenly God. He will interrupt your moments. He will interrupt your life. He will interrupt your problems. When you believe that he's able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine, then you know that God can do all things, and through Christ, you can too. How about Daniel and the lion's den? Anybody who prays to anybody else is going to be thrown and killed, because they knew Daniel prayed every day. But Daniel still went up, he opened the window, and still prayed. Darius was shocked because he loved Daniel. But he had already signed a decree that if anybody prayed to anybody else, they'd be thrown into the lion's den. So he was going to get thrown into the lion's den. And here's Daniel. Daniel lived a life of what? Of generous interruptions. And God, by his Spirit, generously interrupted. What do you mean? He was thrown into a den. There was a stone put over top. This man should have come out just simply as toothpicks. But God interrupted and stopped the mouths of the lions. And when they rolled back the stone in the morning, he said, "Don't worry, king. My God's got me. You see, your God's got you. He'll bring a divine, he'll bring a generous interruption in your life that will stop even the mouths of the lions. You don't have to sit back and wonder and whine, but you can say, listen, this God over here, this God of lack and just barely making it by, this God of sickness and disease, this God that I can't survive, this God that I'm hoping he comes real quick because I need him to help me so bad. Listen, that God will always have you in want. But the true God of heaven has no lack, has no want, and loves to bless his kids. And those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. And I'm not talking just saved, having your sins washed away, but saved spirit, soul, and body. How about the three Hebrew boys? They refused to bow down and worship the idol of Nebuchadnezzar. It made Neb so upset that he fired the stove up 7 times. The men who threw the three Hebrew boys in, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were consumed on the way to throw them in. But here they now have three boys standing in that fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar looks up and says, "Now I thought we just threw three in there. But now look it. I see there's one that looks as the Son of Man." You see, there's a generous interruption in a life that when everybody else seems that life is going to be destroyed, God will show up on your scene. He loves giving generous interruptions. He loves getting into your life and changing the impossible to the possibility. He loves taking your hurt and bringing healing. He loves taking your body that is broken and bring in restoration. He loves taking your family where there seems no hope and bring love and peace and forgiveness and restore what he loves to do. And you see, I love this generous interruption, because the three Hebrew boys, the Bible says, came out without even smelling like smoke. How about Jesus? I love Jesus. I can only do one example. He did so many. How about the time he was already resurrected? And the boys went back to fishing because they were discouraged. Here they are out in the boat. They fished all night long. And Jesus steps out on the shore and says, "Hey, throw your nets to the other side. But we fished all night." Now listen, we're talking about professional fishermen. This is how they made their money. This is how they made their living. This is how they took care of their families. That they say that Peter had 3 mid-sized ships, which was a good-sized business of those days. He was a good-sized merchant. He knew what he was doing. But Jesus, they didn't realize it was Jesus, said, "Hey, throw your nets to the other side." A generous interruption. They threw it on the other side, and they caught so many, they didn't even know what they were going to do. They thought they were going to sink. You see, Christ will always show up and give you abundance and not survival. This is his nature. Now listen, if it stopped there, remember Peter got all excited. He stripped down to his underoos and swam into shore. And when he got there, what did Jesus have? He already had a fire going and he had breakfast served. See, Jesus don't only meet your needs. He gives you abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. He even had breakfast for them. Believers, so many of us live in this realm of belief. But the Bible says, knock, and it might be open to you. If you're lucky and there's anything left in the garbage can, God might give it to you. That's not what it said? Oh. He says, knock, and it shall be. Oh, man, you don't know, Pastor, my finances have been really hurting. Oh, here's God. He gives you a little piece of asphalt. You're struggling at work, and he goes, hey, I'm just going to send one of my angels down to work with them. You're discouraged, just like Elijah was. Well, this God says, well, you know, my grace is sufficient for thee. Survive. Hopefully you make it. If you die, you know you're going to heaven at least. Ooh. Come on, I just brought out a religious cow. Well, you know, if I survive, then at least I can go to heaven. God didn't save you to go to heaven. If he saved you just to go to heaven, you'd die when you got saved. He saved you to be a testimony, to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the earth. And you cannot be the salt here. You've got to be the salt here. You've got to give them something that the world can't give them and the world can't take away. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, but it's also the hope that God lives in you and that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I cannot be overcome. I cannot fail. Why? Because God, not that God, God's on my side. This is a challenge. Amen. Love that kid. How about the divine, the generous interruption that Jesus did with the woman who was caught in adultery? By law, the only one, watch this now. The only one in the crowd that should have, could have, had the right to stone her to death was Jesus. And what did he do? He was generous. He gave her forgiveness when nobody else in that crowd was willing to. And he said, woman, where are your accusers? And he said, woman, go and sin no more. You see, no matter where you are in life, your God has a generous interruption for you. No matter how difficult your life seems and how impossible it seems and how discouraged it might be for you right now, I want you to realize you've got to stop looking to this God, the God with his garbage on the ground, the God that you just barely make it by, the God that's not even here. Where in the world did he go? Isn't that really the way it is? Where are you, God? But you see, when you truly serve the real, true, infinite, holy, risen, majestic Messiah, the one who is and was and is to come, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Everything you need is access to you. If you've been washed by the blood of Jesus, you can come before the throne of God boldly and bring your petitions knowing that the answer is already coming because my God is faithful. My God is true. My God is always there, and he's never going to hang you out to dry. Can I hear an amen? See, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, we always think that about the world. Well, I don't want to get the world's thinking in my mind. Well, sadly, I've seen a lot of worldly people that think more like believers than believers. They have more faith than a believer does. And the problem is that the renewing of our mind really has to come against our teachings in the church that are not biblical. I was brought up in a church that did not teach me good Bible. They taught me good religion. They actually taught you, whether they realize it or not, that you were saved if you went to church. Oh, yes, you had to give your heart to Jesus, but really it was more about going to church than it was about knowing God. There's so many people that just simply say, well, you know, God has called you to be poor, and God has called you just to survive on this earth, and that's the testimony. Really? Last I knew that we weren't Buddhist monks. Last I knew, my God is able. Last I knew, my God, listen now, when you talk about kingdom, a kingdom is always measured by the blessed people in the kingdom. A kingdom was always measured by how blessed the people are that are under him. That's how a king is measured. So for us, many times we sit back and we look at this king and we submit our lives to this king, but that's not the true God of heaven. The true God of heaven is the one who has given us access, who has said everything that you need, I'm able to provide, that my hand is not short. I love you. I have a divine plan for you, and I am not going to leave you just barely making it. I'm almost done. Another 4 or 5 minutes, but I got to ask you some questions. Is that fair? How many of you have ever had a generous interruption in your health? That means, how many have been healed? Amen? Shout out some of the things you were healed of.
Cancer.
What's that? Infertility. Woo. Come on. What's that? Depression. Stroke. Couldn't even talk. God opened his voice box. Come on, somebody else. Heart disease. Grip of Satan, lump in my body. Come on, somebody else. Alcoholism, cancer, cigarettes, kidneys. Whoa. What's that? Arthritis. Brother Ken had a miracle. He had arthritis. There was no hope. God set him free in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody else. Stomach ulcers, back injury, cigarettes. Come on now. What? SIDS. Dear Lord. I'm sorry, I had to deduce that one. No problem, honey. It was my fault. You see, so many of us have experienced this generous interruption of God, and we only leave it to one level of our life. Or we look at it as, well, I got mine. I guess that's all I get. Your Father in heaven, he does not have a shortage. You don't get a quota. Those who ask, receive. Those who knock, it's opened. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. If you earthly parents know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father knows how to bless you. It's time to get down that this God is always scraping by. This God is always just making it by. But our God, the true God, the God of the Word of God, there's nothing that you can't have. This is why the world don't want what the church has most of the time. Because a lot of people that are even blessed financially say, well, you know what? I guess I got to give up all my fun. I guess I got to give up all my money. I guess I got to give up all my stuff. And I want you to know something, that you don't have to give anything up except sin. Amen? Sin is what destroys us, nothing else. And God is calling us back to this place. Here's another one. How many have had a financial miracle? God has done a generous interruption in your life financially. How many of you have been forgiven of massive debt? I mean forgiven. Amen. What was yours? How much? $79,000. Ours was $10,000. Somebody else, come on. $8,000. Come on. $70,000, $120,000. How many of you had God do a miracle of $1,000 before? How many of you didn't even know how you're going to pay your rent, and God made it happen? Come on, you didn't know how you were going to eat, but God provided for your food. Can I hear an amen? You see, we've got to change our mentality. Our mentality has been geared towards this God, and this is a false God that we've created in our minds and in religion, and God is not this. He is awesome. Dude. It's really not God. You know that, right? It's Alan. Everybody knows it's Alan, right? Peek at them, Alan. Go, hey. I'm almost done. I just want to read one more verse. Is that fair? It's Pastor Andrea's favorite verse. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says religion. They're plans for survival. Plans that, you know, when things go bad, you know, good luck, I'm here if you die. Don't ask for too much, saith the Lord. Oh, that's not what it says. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and to give you a hope. You see, God has greatness for you, and it's time to put your shoulders back and your head up, and it's time to start walking as a child of the living God who has full access to all that heaven has to offer. There's nothing that God won't provide for you. If you ask in faith, he will give it to you. He'll bless you. Now, listen, now, I'm not saying that you don't have to at times, you know, God's going to work through some things through you. But watch now. God will withhold no good thing from those who love him. You need to go. Go on. No, no, don't go there. Go that way. Whether you like it or not, some of you are walking around, and today I pushed some buttons. These were my buttons. These were my buttons. These were the buttons I was taught in Bible college. That was the God I was taught about in Bible college. And man, what a relief to realize that I don't have to serve under him. What a relief to know that my God is good and not bad. What a relief to know that my God has plans for me and not just ignores me. What a great thing to know that my God loves me no matter what my problems are. And that if I call upon his name, he's always going to be there. He is a faithful, a good, passionate, loving, compassionate God who will meet my needs. He'll heal my body. He'll heal my mind. He'll heal my heart. He'll bless me in every facet of my life because that's the God that I serve. Who you serve is how you pray. How do you pray? Some of you need to have your minds renewed and transformed by the Word of God. And when you do, let me tell you, there's a great relief when you realize you can't fail. It's a great relief when you realize you can't die. What? You can't die? No, you can't kill me. You can't kill me. You can pull a gun out. You can shoot me all you want. Who was that? The guy out in, what was his name? He speaks about end times all the time. Big church, on TV all the time. What's his name? What's that? John Hagee. About 10 years ago, John Hagee was preaching a Wednesday night service. A man walked down with a gun, pointed it at his head. Click, 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 click. Couldn't kill the man of God. Bishop Thomas, heart blew up, dead. But you can't kill one with a vision is still alive. You can't kill one if it's not God's timing. You see, you are invincible. You are a person that has the power of God resident within you. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. You are not weak, but you are strong. And it's time to put your shoulders back, your heads high, and start walking in true humility, which means this: I know who I am, and I'm walking in it. You see, we're going to start creating generous interruptions in our circles of influence. But you got to believe that God wants them for you before you ever give them. You will never give what you don't believe is for you. You will never offer what you don't believe God will do in your life. And this is again why Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because my Father has sent me. Why? Acts chapter 10, verse 38. And how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth and anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. And Jesus went about doing good, healing all those oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. And the same God that was with Jesus, he says, greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. You're not weak. You're strong. Turn to someone and say, I'm strong. Bow your heads with me this morning. Some of you need a generous interruption from God in your life. Some of you need a true bona fide miracle in your life. Some of you need God to show up and do something that is impossible. You need the generous interruption of the King of Kings. And this morning, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to release that into your life. And you're going to receive it into your life. I don't know what it is, but you better start asking God for it right now. You better start raising your hands and saying, God, this is what I need in my life right now. And you're going to receive it. Why do I believe that? Because I believe that every message has signs and wonders following. I believe that God confirms his word. And God's going to confirm what I preached. So if you need a divine interruption, you need a generous interruption in a portion of your life, whether it be health, wealth, finances, whether it be in your family, whether it be at your job, it's time for you to get into the position of receiving. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for all. Listen now, if you are ready, get your hands up. You don't have your hands up, you're not getting it. You see, there's a point of obedience too. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that your word is truth. Now, God, we call upon the God of the Bible. We call upon the God of Isaac, Jacob. Lord, we call upon the God of Abraham. We call upon the God of the Messiah. We call upon you, Father God, and we declare that you said to us, greater works shall we do. So right now, in Jesus' name, I speak your interruption in their life. I look at their situation. I declare, Lord Jesus, that it has no more power in their life. I declare the impossibility to start melting right now in the name of Jesus. We call forth miracles to be released this morning in the name of Jesus. We declare, God, that no matter what the situation, the devil's hand will not be on top. But God, the God of access, will release that supernatural generous interruption to bring a miracle right now. Lord, there's people that need healing in their body. We release miracles right now in Jesus' name. God, people in their finances in Jesus' name. People in their health, their wealth, Lord, even in their minds in Jesus' name. And we declare, God, that you are good and not bad. That you are not struggling and barely making it by. But you long and willingly love to give to your babies. And we are your children. And we receive. Shout it out loud. I receive. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I don't know where you are right now, but if you don't know God, you're not sure if you take your last breath, you're going to go to heaven. Today is your day. You see, the God of eternity is waiting to call you his baby, to coddle you, hug you, hold you, protect you. He is so faithful and true. Today, if you need your sins washed away, you're not sure if you're going to go to heaven, but you want him in your life today, I want you to raise your hand up right now. If there's anybody here that needs Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, raise your hand up right now. I see so many hands still up because of the last prayer. I need folks to raise their hand who need Jesus as their personal Savior. Wave it really high. I'm not going to embarrass you, but this is your moment. 5, 4, get your hand up. 3, 2, and last call, and 1. Let's all stand to our feet.